Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Kuf Ches. And we are 14 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Zayin Omid Beis, Omar Le Rav Yehuda L'Rav Adam Mishaycha. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael, Hanasunim Batzor V'ashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shalema for Chana Chaya Bas Yehudis. And today's daf is being learned L'Ilui Nishmas, Nochum Ben Amram. Zok de Gemara. Amalei Rav Yehuda L'Rav Adam Mishaycha. Rav Yehuda told Rav Ada, who was a professional surveyor, Loi tezalzel b'mishchasa. When you survey, when you measure properties, don't be mezalzel. Meaning, take your geschäft very seriously, and you should be medakte kechot asayra. And the reason is, the chol porta or porta, every tiny piece of land, chazi lekurkama rishka, could be used to plant, Rashi says, garden saffron. Meaning, even the smallest piece of property, don't be mezalzelin, because you'll be surprised what income it has the ability to generate. Another thing that Rabbi Yehuda told Rabbi Adam Meshaycha, Dalet Amois de Anigra Zalzabo. When you're measuring four Amois of Anigra, you have a right to be mezalzel. So Rashi tells us the rest of the story. We're talking about an agricultural world where there were farmers that used to irrigate. They would schlep water from a primary source of water into their respective fields. And the way they did it was with canals. So there was a law that stated that a person was not allowed to plant anything within four amis of those canals. And the reason is because if you plant something, then it's going to affect the soil, it's going to affect the land, and it could ultimately impact these canals. So Rav Adam Mishaycha, he's a professional surveyor, and his job is to make sure that people are not planting within dalet amis of these canals. So Rav Yehuda told him that although this is a halacha, you could be mezalzel, meaning you don't have to be so medaktik. In this instance, you don't have to be perfectly careful. As long as it's be'erich, it's approximately dalet amis, that satisfies this law. But then he told him, da anahara loitim shechinu klal, as it relates to making sure that people don't plant within four amis of the nar, of the river, of the primary source of water, that he said, don't even measure. Meaning that there, it's so important that people be four amis away that they shouldn't even be calling you for your services, because you have to make sure that it's so obvious that it's four amis that you shouldn't even have to come on to a surveyor to certify and to say that, yes, I want you to know that nobody's planting within four amis from where this is. So as it relates to the anigra, you could be mezalzel. Meaning, there you don't have to be so sensitive. As it relates to the primary body of water, there you have to be super sensitive. Says the Gemara, what's the methodology behind this? Rabbi Yehuda L'tameh, this was all Rabbi Yehuda talking, and it was Rabbi Yehuda L'shitasit. Rabbi Yehuda said, Arba Amos the Anigra, L'bnei Anigra. The four Amos of the Anigra, meaning this that you have to distance anything that you're going to do four amis from these canals, that affects the people that benefit from this canal. The Nahara, however, the halacha that says that you have to distance four amis from the primary source of water, the kuliyama, is something that affects everybody. Okay, so how does that make it Rav Yehuda L'tameh? How does that translate into the aforementioned halacha? So Rashi says, Gishmak. Rashi says the anigra is something that only some people benefited from. As a result, some people could be Michael. So Rav Yehuda tells Rav Adam Mishaycha, you don't have to be so makbid. If you want, you could be mezalzel, because at the end of the day, these people will probably be Michael if somebody infringes a little bit within the dalet amis. But as it relates to that nahara, that's something that affects kulei alma. If it affects kulei alma, zok Rashi, uman Michael. There's nobody to be Michael. And being that there's nobody to be Michael, so it's a question of gezel rabim, which is very, very serious, and as a result, you have to be uber careful. So careful that Rav Adam Mishaycha don't even measure, because if they have to come on to you, that means they're a little bit too close for comfort, and that in and of itself is going to be an issue. Machriz Rav Ami. Rav Ami made the following proclamation. He said, "Mloi kasvi nagdi betrei avri nahar rakutsu." Rav Ami said that the Olam has a right to cut any forests, any trees that are along the banks of the river. Okay, how much could they cut? So the shear that he gave was Meloi Kasvi Nagdi. It's the width of the shoulders of the people that would work there. So the rest of the story, Rashi says, is there were people whose job it was to schlep things up and down the river. These people used to stand on the sides of the river, sometimes this side, sometimes that side, and that's where they used to operate. Now, if there are going to be trees there, it's going to infringe on their ability to do what they're getting paid to do. As a result, Rav Ami said that if somebody wants, he has a right to go cut down any trees that are going to be along the river. How much width of trees can you cut? It's the width of these chevra. So these are broad-shouldered fellows. Meloi kasvi nagdi. It's literally the width of their shoulders. Betrei avi nahara. On both sides of the river, kites, you have a right to cut. Says the Gemara, Rav Nosson bar Oshia cuts shitzer amsa. Rav Nosson bar Oshia, he followed this halacha of Rav Ami, but he cut a real, real Rebbe Shashir. He cut 16 amas. Also aleh b'nei mashrunya. So the b'nei mashrunya came, dafnu, and they started hitting him. So it seems that they owned the forest, and they weren't happy about the fact that he's going now, and he's literally raising this whole big chunk of forest. So the Gemara says, why Rav Nosson bar Hoshia cut so much? Who suffered? He thought Yerusha Sarabim. Oh, if you have to allow people to be there, so what's the precedent for a space that's needed for a Rabbim? The Yerusha Sarabim. Rashi quotes a Gemara Masechtas Bava Basra. Rashi could have easily have quoted a Gemara Masechtas Shabbos and Erevin, where the width of a Yerusha Sarabim is always 16 amos, but the Gemara says, Valohi, it's not true. Meaning, it's not a good suchdel, Rusha Sarabim, and that's why the Oilam was upset at Rav Nosson bar Hoshia, because Hasan binim Kulihai. When it comes to Rusha Sarabim, then you need 16 amas of width. Hach over here, Mishum Abtuchia Shleyan, who this is just for these chevra that used to have ropes attached to the things that were inside the river that they were schlepping. Zakim Loi Kasvi Nagdi Sagdi, as long as it's going to be wide enough for them to be able to operate there, that in of itself is going to be enough. Another story, Rabba Barafuna, Havaleya Hahu Abba, Rabba Barafuna had a forest, Aguda Dinahara, and it was on, again, the banks of a river, a little close for comfort. So the Chevra told Rabbi Barafuna, Nekutz Mar, you have to cut it. Based on Rav Ami's halacha, you can't have any forest too close to the river. Amalusi told them, Koitsu Iloi Vitatoi. He said, I'm not the only person that has trees here. If you look up north, people have trees. If you look down south, people have trees. So why don't the people above me and beneath me cut their trees first? And then I'll cut mine. Meaning, come to me after everybody else did what they already did. So the Gemara interrupts for a second. And the Gemara says, Hechi Ovid Hachi, how could the great Rabbi Bar Afuna say something like this? The Pasuk says, His Koishishu V'Koishu. It's a Pasuk in Tzafanya. But Omer Ishlokish, which Lokish said, that a person's supposed to take care of his own business first, and then he should give Musar and Teichacha to other people. In other words, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna saying that when everyone else does what they're supposed to do, then I'll do what I'm supposed to do. It's not the way Elchid Fizach. An Elchid does what he's supposed to do, and then he makes sure that other people are doing what they're supposed to do. So the Gemara doesn't understand Pashim Shah what Rabbi Bar Rav Huna was even saying. So the Gemara says, no, you have to know the rest of the story. Hasam over there, Abba debay Parzik Rufilahava. Abba, by the way, in our sugya means a forest. This forest belonged to Parzik Rufila, Parzik the governor. So Rabbi Bar Rav Huna made the following cheshbon. He says, what are the chances they're going to get this governor to go cut his forest? So he said, Mamon of Shach, Ikaitsu. He says, if he's willing to cut his forest, Kaitsu, I'll cut my forest too. But if, which probably chances are, he doesn't cut his forest, then I'm my ekots. Why should I cut my forest? And he said, Mamon of Shach, Di Mamti Lachu Ashlayu Mistagilu. Meaning, if they're going to be able to figure out a way to get around his forest to do the work that they have to do, no, so they'll be able to get around my chelik to do what they have to do as well. The Eloi, and if they're not going to be able to get around his trees, then Loi Mistagilu. And Rashi says, what it means is they're going to end up having to cross the river and do their work from the other side. No, so if they're going to cross the river to do the work from the other side, so what, they're going to come back when it comes to my parcel of land? It doesn't make any sense. So what he said was that being that there was this Eina Yehudi, and not just an Eina Yehudi, a very powerful person, Parzik Rufila, Parzik the governor, and he understood that there's a very good chance that this guy is not going to be willing to cut down his forest. So he said, I don't see why I should cut down my forest, because if they could get around him, they'll get around me, And if they can't get around him, they'll end up going to the other side of the river, so then I'm not getting in their way regardless. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Bar Avuna, of course, knew the principle, first you take care of your own business, and then you worry about all the people around you. But in this case, he just felt that chances were that this wasn't going to play itself out this way, and it's for that reason he said what he said. Says the Gemara, Nacham Maisa, Rabbi Barav Nachman have a ka'azal ba'arba. Rabbi Barav Nachman was once traveling on a boat, Chaza Hahu Abba Dekoy Aguda Denahara, and he saw a forest that was literally on the side of the Nar. Amar Luhu, so he told them, the man who owns this forest, Amar Luhu, they told him, the Rabbi Baravuna, it belongs to Rabbi Baravuna. Amar, so Rabbi Bar Nachman said regarding Rabbi Bar Avuna's forest. The Pasuk says in Sefer Ezra, V'yad hasorim v'haskonim hoysa b'mal hazer rishon. Now the context over there is Ezra Perek Tes, where Ezra comes up to Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of Bayesheni, and he sees that unfortunately the state of the union was not good. Specifically, the Yidden were being Mechal Shabbos, and specifically the Yidden were married to non-Jewish women. And the Pasuk says that not only was the Hamoinam guilty of this, but even the leaders were guilty, and not just that, V'yad hasorim. So Rabbi Bar Nachman sees that Rabbi Bar Avuna is violating this law, that he has a forest mamish along the Nar, which is something that's kineged this takana of Chazal. So he said, by the way, why is he referring to Rabbi Bar Avuna as Yad Hasorim Vahaskonim? Number one, he's Rabbi Bar Avuna, he's a great Amora. Number two, he's the son. He's like the Skan. He's the son of Rav Huna. Number three, Rav Huna was also part of the family of the Reish Galusa, like Rav Shirogoyen talks about in his famous Igeres. So Rabbi Bar Avuna is real royalty. So he says, oh, I see the royal people, the leaders, Torah v'Gedula, they're all violating this halacha. Amar Lahu. So Rabbi Bar Nachman says, Koitsu, I want you to go, and I want you to cut down this forest. The Gemara says, Katsu, they cut it. Us, Rabbi Rav Huna. In the meantime, Rabbi Rav Huna came, Ashkeche, and he saw the kayets that his forest had been cut down. Says the Gemara, Omar, he said, man katsio, who cut it? And he says, you don't have to tell me, but whoever it was, takutz anfer. Rashi says, yomusu bonav. So whoever it is that cut down my forest, may his children be cut down, he shall lose his children. Amri, they say, that kulishni the Rabbi Bar Avuna, for the entire life of Rabbi Bar Avuna, leikaim lezar, the Rabbi Rav Nachman. Rabbi Rav Nachman's children did not have a kiyam, he was not zoicha to zara chai v'kayoma, and it was based on this klolo that he had received from Rabbi Bar Avuna. Incidentally, Tosfos says that it's mistaber that this story of Rabbi Bar Avuna is the same as the story on the bottom of Kuzayin Amadeus with Rabbi Bar Avuna, with the Rabbanan had already told him to cut down his forest, and he said, the reason I'm not cutting down my forest is because you're not going to be able to get Parzik Rufila to cut down his. If he's not going to cut down his, why should I cut down mine? But either way, here the Gemara says that Rabbi Bar Avuna went, that he cut down the forest, and Rabbi Bar Avuna was very disappointed, and he says, very, very strangely, Man Katsya Tokut Zanfer, which, as far as a punishment goes, seems to not really fit the crime. It seems to be somewhat cruel and unusual, and the Gemara concludes and says, a Gemara that came to mind, and this is really interesting, is Gemara Masechtas Nazir, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara over there is discussing whether or not one is allowed to cut off the payas of his child, specifically a woman. A woman is not muzer in the law of Leisakifu Pas Roishchem. So could she cut the payas of her son? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna said, Hamakif es hakoton harehu chayev. If somebody cuts the payas of a katan, even though katan himself is not chayev in mitzvahs, but if someone's makif the payas of a katan, the makif is going to be chayev. Amar Rav Ada Bar Ahava Rav Huna. So Rav Ada Bar Ahava told Rav Huna, V'didach man megalach lohin. Says, tell me, your children, they're walking around without payas. I'm curious. I mean, you just said, Hamakif es hakoton harehu chayev. So who cuts the payas of your children? Amalei, so Rav Huna told Rav Ada Bar Ahava, Chayva. Rav Huna's wife was famously known as Chayva. So as far as some of the famous wives of Shas, Rav Huna's wife Chayva is up there. So he says, oh, my wife Chayva, she's the one that cuts it. So the Gemara says, Rav Ada Bar Ahava responded and said, Tikberinun Chayva levne. Let Chayva bury her children. Now, if you take a look at the Rishonim here, Masechtas Nazir, there's a machloik is exactly what Rav Ada Bar Ahava meant. Some say he meant Kipshutai, Tikverinu Chayva Levne. Others say that He didn't mean it as a matter of fact, but he said, Lashon Bitmiyo. Is Choyva not afraid that maybe this is going to happen? But either way, the Gemara says, Kulu Shnei Derav Ada Barahava, during the entire life of Rav Ada Barahava, Lo Yikayim Lezar the Rav Huna. Rav Huna was not Zoicha to Zara Chai V'Kayama. So it's almost an identical Gemara. It's a different sukkah. Here we're talking about cutting forests that are a little bit too close to the Nar. Over there we're talking about the Loisase in the Torah of Loisakifu Pas Roichchan, specifically as relates to Ktanim. But this idea of Kulushnei Lo Yikayim Lezara, because of a klala from an Amoira. In our Gemara, it's Rabba bar Rav Nachman. That's Rav Nachman's son, by the way. In this Gemara, it's Rav Ada bar Rahava. But what's interesting is that in the Gemara Masechtas Nazir, who was affected by this? It was the children of Rav Huna. The children of Rav Huna were the beneficiaries. They were the recipients of this klala of Rav Ada bar Rahava. In our Gemara, who's the one that gives the klala? It's the son of Rav Huna. It's Rabba bar Rav Huna. Either way, interesting. Regardless, it's up to Gemara Vayta. Amr Rabbi Huda said, Hakoil le'igli gapa. Every person that lives in a city is obligated and responsible to chip in for any shmira that the city is going to need. So, for example, if you have to build a wall around the city just to fortify it against any illegal aliens, so to speak, every member of the city can be taxed and is responsible to partake. V'afilu miyasmi, even Yisoyimim, the chosim of Yisoyimim are treated sometimes differently in halacha, but it doesn't matter. When it comes to this, they need shmira, and as a result, we tax them as well. Says Rav Yehuda avu rabbanon loy. There's one exception to the rule, and that is the rabbis. My time, and what's the reason that we don't take any money from the rabbanon? Because rabbanon loy tzrichin nitirusa. The rabbanon don't need any shmira. Why not? Rashi says toirasei mashmaita. Because the Torah of the rabbanon protects them. Kitechsiv. What's the makar to this? So if you had to find a makar that Torah protects, says Rashi, here's the makar. It says bishach. So this is of Hajran fame. B'shach b'cha tishmer olecha, v'akitzoysa hisisichecha. But b'shach b'cha tishmer olecha, and it's from there that you see that Torah protects. Said Rav Yehuda, however, the carry the pastia, let's say you need to hire people to dig wells so that there's going to be water to drink. I feel the Rabbanon, that you can tax the entire city, even the rabbis. Why? Because even though the Rabbanon don't need shmira, but they need water, and as a result, that's something you can go to them for. You have to read the fine print. The only time it's true that you can go to the Rabbanis El Play Nafki Bachluza. That's if the oilam is not going out on their own to dig it. Rather, they're hiring a contractor and that person's going to do it. But if the Chevra are going to do it by themselves, then you can't go to the rabbis. The Rabbanon Labani make up a chluza nino, because it's inappropriate for the Rabbanon to have to go out and literally dig wells. That's sitting and learning Torah. So if you're hiring someone, then they have to participate. If, however, you're going out by yourself, then already the Rabbanon are going to be exempt. Before we go weiter, so you see in this Gemara, this is an important Gemara, that if there's a campaign in a city to raise money for something that relates to protecting the city, you can't tax the Rabbanon. And the reason is because the Rabbanon do not require Shemira. The truth is, the Gemara, in Masechtas Brachos, Daf Hei Amud Aleph says that Rabbi Shua ben Levi talking that even if a person already said Kriya Shema at night, mitzvah lekreis al mitasa, there's a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema she'al amita again. And the reason is because when a person goes to sleep at night, he's in somewhat danger, and as a result, you say Kriya Shema she'al amita. The Kriya Shema is going to be a shmira against the mazikim that can affect a person at night. The Baal HaTurim says that the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad starts with a shin. Ma, and it ends with a dalet, echad, right? So it starts with a shin, it ends with a dalet. Shin dalet is oisius shin dalet, lohidiyacha. That kriyashma protects against shin dalet. It protects against mazikin. Either way, that's Rabbi Shua ben Levi's memories. Even if you already yoitze your chayvas kriyashma, but still there's a mitzvah to say kriyashma shalamita. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Im Talmud Chacham hu ein tzarech. If you're a Talmud Chacham, you don't have to. And the reason is because if you're a Talmud Chacham, the Torah is going to protect you. Amr Abaya, Abaya said, Af Talmud Chacham yiboyle lemeimer chapsuk ederachmi. Even a Talmud Chacham, he should say one pasuk. Kigoyim, what's the pasuk? Biyot But al kaponim, it's a Gemara Masechtas Brachos, daf dalam adays, daf heram ad aleph, that although there's an inyan of Kriya Shema Shel Amita, and B'yisoy, the reason there's such an inyan is for Shmira. A Talmud Chacham, being that he learns Torah, he doesn't require Shmira. Literally like the Gemara that we just learned here, Daf Kuf Ches Amar Aleph. Stating that, there's another Gemara. This is a Masechtas Brachas, Daf Nun Dalet Amar Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shloisha Tzrichem Shimur. There are three people that need a Shmira El Yoyna. The Elohim, Choyla, Chasson, V'kala. B'mas Nisa Tana, Choyla, Chaya, Chasam Vekala. V'yesh Oimrim Af Ovel, and this is what we need, V'yesh Oimrim Af Talmidei Chacham Balayla. Some say even a Talmud Chacham at night needs Shmira. So we have a Gemara Masechtas Brachas, Talmud Chacham doesn't have to say Kriya Shema Shalamita. Why? Because he doesn't need Shmira. His Torah protects him. We have a Gemara Masechtas Brachas, Daftan and Dalam Adays, that there are certain people that need Shmira El Yoyna, and one of them is V'yesh Oimrim Af Talmud Chacham Balayla. Then not only does a Talmud Chacham need Shmira, but to the contrary, he needs even more Shmira than anybody else. So at first glance, it seems to be a contradiction between the two Gemaras. You know, asks this Kasha? Rabbeinu Yoyna. One of the Rishonim, Rabbi Kiveg and Gilyan Ashas, is Mitzayin Rabbeinu Yoyna, who asks this Kasha, and Rabbeinu Yoyna says that you have to say that this Gemara in Masechtas Brachas on Dalam Adays is talking about, quote, where the Talmud Chacham is Oimei Dichidi Be'ishoin Laila Va'afela. So if he's in a very vulnerable position over there, because he's a Talmud Chacham, he needs more Shmira. Incidentally, Rashi says that why would a Talmud Chacham need more Shmira? You want to tell me he doesn't need Shmira B'Seder? Okay. So at the very least, maybe his Torah is not protecting him. Okay, so he's a regular citizen. He's a pedestrian. Why should he need even more Shmira? So Rashi says because the Satan is Mekana, a Yetzahara, and because of the kinna of the Satan, he actually has to be a little bit more careful. But the bottom line is you have to say that if the Talmud Chacham finds himself in a uniquely dangerous place, then faker, because of the kinna of the Yetzahara, the kinna of the Satan, he actually needs Mushmira. But this is something that he is not going to need. Regardless, our Gemara is another Maramokim where you find this inyan that a Talmud Chacham does not need Shmira, and it plays itself out in Chayshim Mishpat, in a Sugya Masechtas Bava Metziah. Right, those Gemaras are Masechtas Brachas. Here it's a Masechtas Bava Metziah. It's a Chayshim Mishpat again Afkemino, that you can't be Moitzi Mammon from a Talmud Chacham when it comes to anything related to Shmira, and the reason is because Talmud Chacham has Torah, B'shach b'cha tishmar alecha, and his Torah protects him. Right, tishmar means milosh and shmira. So the Torah protects the Talmud Chacham, and it's for that reason he doesn't need shmira. Just one thing that's kedai to chazer, and that is, Abaye said that even though Talmud Chacham doesn't have to say kriya shma shalamita, but he should say one pasuk of rachmi, kugoyin, b'yodcha af kidruchi, padisa oisi Hashem kalemis. We once spoke out that there are some rishonim that don't have the girsa kugoyin. It's not kigoyin biyodcha af kidruchi padisa oisi Hashem kelemes, but rather Abaye was saying this one pasuk you should say. You should say biyodcha af kidruchi padisa oisi Hashem kelemes, and we shtel tzu the Zohar HaKadosh that the Ktzoyis HaChoyshem brings in Simen Dalet. This is the only Zohar HaKadosh, Hakdama not included, where the Ktzoyis in a Simen, when he's discussing halacha lemaisa, quotes a Zohar. And this Zohar is in Parshas Bamidbar. The context over there is if somebody gives a pekadon to somebody and that other person owes him money, meaning the mafkid owes money to the shomer pekadon. So I'm a shomer chinam, I'm watching your pekadon, but you owe me money. So the question is, now that I have your money, I'm muchzik in it anyways, can I just keep it and not give you back the pekadon? So the Ktzoyis brings from the Marshal that the answer is yes. If you want to do it, you can do it. He says, but don't do it. Because take a look at the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Bamidbar, with the Zohar says that every single night a person should say Biyotcha Af Kidruchi Padisa Oisi Hashem Kelemes. And the reason is because when a person dies, he takes his neshama and he gives it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a pekadon. And being that a shomer pekadon is someone that's a neman to always return the pekadon, even if the mafkid owes money to the shomer, still the shomer is going to return the pekadon. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu fears in the same way. So we tell Hashem, I'm giving you my neshama, but I'm giving it to you as a shomer pekadon, and I'm trusting you that you're a shomer neman. Thus, I'm very confident that I'm going to end up getting my neshama back. So I'll be able to say, Alikai neshama shenasatabi, right? That you'll be a machs in neshamas of Gar Mason, because I know the derech of the shomer pekadon. So says the Zohar that if you're going to fear zech this way, that if somebody gives you a pekadon, you're going to give it back, then me the keneged me, that Eibishter will fear zech with you that way as well. But if not, says zok tektois, even though the Marshal said that really the shomer pekadon can hold on to his pekadon, but at the same time, it's not something that he should do based on this Zohar HaKadosh and Parshas Bamidbar. Again, we're talking about Torah protecting Dachi Amaral, Gemara's Rosh HaTevis, Gavriel, Michal, Rafal, and Ariel, when a person learns Gemara, he's zoicha to this Shmir El Yoyna, Mimini, Michal, Mismaila, Gavriel, Mephane, Ariel, Meachairai, Rafal, regardless, tucked away right here, Bava Metzia, Kuf Chesam, and Aleph, is this Inyan, B'shach, B'cha, Tishmair, Alacha, Tishmair, B'losh, and Shmira, that Torah protects a person. Zokti Gemara, Amr, Rabbi Yehuda said, Lekario denahara. In the event that the people in the city were raising money, and the reason they were raising money is because the river wasn't flowing properly. So there's some obstruction in the river, and they're trying to get it to move a little bit better. It should be pachas kamayim. So if you're going and raising money, so this is the rule. Tatoi misayeya iloi. Iloi, iloi misayeya tatoi. If the obstruction is, let's say, on the top part of the town. So let's think of a town that's built on a mountain, and there's a river that flows up and down the mountain. So if the people on top are the ones that are having this issue, meaning it's the part of the river that's adjacent to them, so obviously they're going to have to be meshtatif to fix this problem. And not just that, the people on the bottom are going to have to be meshtatif as well. If, however, the issue is on the bottom, meaning it's already downhill, downstream where this is a problem, and that's where the chevra are going to have to come, and that's where all the people are going to have to clean up this mess. So then they themselves would have to be meshtativ, but the people on top would not have to. So tatoi misayeh iloi, the people on the bottom have to help the people on top, but iloi iloi misayeh tatoi, the people on the top don't have to help the people on the bottom. And the reason is because if there's obstruction on the top of the river, the people on the bottom are going to be impacted by it. Because if it's not flowing properly on top, it's not going to flow properly on bottom. But if the obstruction is on the bottom, then the people on the top will not be negatively impacted. It has nothing to do with me. Where I am, it's flowing properly. It's where you are that it's not flowing properly. In fact, Rashi adds a knetch, you have to be a farmer to fully appreciate this, that if the river is not flowing properly on the bottom, it's actually better on top. So Loimi Boya, it's not impacting them. This is actually a good day for them because it's moving a little bit slower, which gives them a better ability to be yoinik from this river. It's for that reason, tatoi misayeh iloi, iloi iloi misayeh tatoi, says the Gemara, v'chilufa b'maya demitra. As it relates to rainwater, it's just the opposite. So what does this mean? This is talking about where you have a city where they had some sort of sewer system that took the rainwater out of the city. Because if the rainwater is going to back up, it's not going to be good. So there's a mahalach where the rainwater ends up coming out. So over there, it's just the opposite. If the obstruction is up top and the water is getting stuck, so it's not flowing down, the people on top have to be mishtatev, people on the bottom don't have to be mishtatev. If the obstruction is on the bottom, so then the people on the bottom naturally have to be mishtatev, and the people on top would also have to be mishtatev. And the reason is because if the rainwater is getting stuck on top and it's not flowing down, so for the people on the bottom, it's great. Perfect. The rainwater is not even coming to us. Noch besser, right? The rainwater comes from the top and makes its way down. So if there's nothing draining down at all, so why is that bad? I mean, if it was going through the pipes that it's supposed to go through, it would be fine. If it's not, noch besser. It's certainly not impacting me in any way. If, however, there's some clogging going on the bottom, so it's going to impact the people on top because it's going to back up, 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 and it's going to end up affecting everybody. So over there, it's just the opposite. If the issue is on the bottom, the people on the top have to be mishtatev. If the issue is on the top, the people on the bottom do not have to be mishtatev. The Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi, there's really a braisa that says everything that we just said. If there were five gardens that were all obtaining their water from one primary source of water, v'neskalkel hamayim, and then this mayim somehow got mekulkal, it became corrupt, it got messed up. So kulam misaknois in mehel yoyna. Everybody has to fix it, and they have to chip in with the el yoyna. Meaning, whoever is at the top where this issue is, he needs to fix it, and everybody beneath him has to fix it along with him. Nimtza, so what would emerge is atatoyna mitakenesim kulam, the people on the bottom are always going to have to fix. I mean, regardless of where their issue is, they're always going to have to chip in. Additionally, if it's only by them, they themselves are going to have to fix the problem by themselves. Meaning, because the tatoi is always mishtatev. So the tatoi, if you live on the bottom, one of the things that comes along with that, it's this intangible expense where you know you're always going to have to chip in if there's going to be any drainage issues. Now, it's possible you're going to be the only one that's going to be fixing it, right? Sometimes you're mitakenes la'atzmo. If the issue is by you, then you're going to be the only one fixing it. But the point is, you're always going to have to be mishtatif. That's when you're talking about a mayan that provides water to ganos, right? This is the first case of what Yehuda was referring to. Lekaryo de naharo tatoy misayeh ilo. V'chein, the same is true. If you had five chatzeres where there was rainwater that was mikaleach, it was going into some body of water. So this is the second case we were talking about. Then it's kalkala biv, and now that biv got messed up. Kula misaknes ima tachtoino. Everybody has to chip in with the tachtoino. Meaning if you're above where the problem is, being that you're negatively impacted by it, so you have to be mishtatif. Nimsas al yoyne misakenes im kulon. The guy on top is always going to have to chip in. So if you live on the top of the mountain, you're always going to have to pay this tax, and it is possible you're going to be the only one that's going to have to pay. Because if the issue is only by you and not beneath you, no one is going to be obligated to chip in. So before you buy a house on a mountain in an ancient civilization, you know, you're trying to make a decision, should I buy on top, should I buy on bottom? So you have to figure out all these variable expenses that may come your way, specifically as it relates to any issue with the irrigation, with the flow of water. Is it rainwater? Is it irrigation water? It can happen after me. The Zok Gemara, Amba Shmuel, Shmuel said, Hayman, the achzik, biraksa dinahar. So the context of this halacha is, this was in a Persian world, in the times of the Amora Shmuel, where the government had said that if somebody wants to go and be machzik in property, call Dolom Gravar. You could do it. However, you have to read the not such fine print. It comes with an invoice that states that you're going to have to pay property taxes. So as long as you're willing to pay the taxes on this property, you have a right to be machzik in this property. So in this world, Shmuel said, if someone is going to go and he's going to be machzik, beraksa denaharo, he's going to be machzik in a piece of property that's very close to the nar, chatzifa havi, as a mechetzif. However, sluke loy mesalkin onle. However, we're not going to remove him. Now, why would this person be a mechetzif? What's so bad about what he did? Because it violates the Gemara that we discussed at the beginning of the daf, where Rav Ami said that you have to cut down forests. Don't park yourself too close to the Nahar because it gets in the way of people that have to work in the Nahar. Right? Ad kidekach, you're allowed to cut down property, some drama we saw. But the bottom line is, Shmuel said that if somebody goes and essentially acquires via paying taxes on this land, it's a chutzpah, but we can't be masalik. It's not something we're going to do. For Idna said Shmuel, nowadays, the kokasvi parsoi, that the Persians write in their Bibles the following, K'nilach ad molet savori susya maya, so luki nami masalkinle. So machlik is Rashi and Tosafot what this means. We'll learn the Gemara the way Rashi learns the Gemara. And that is, Rashi says that nowadays, the Persian government would write, nowadays meaning in Shmuel's times, that if a person owns property next to the river, so his rishus extends all the way to the river, ad va'ad b'chlal, ad molit savori susyo. Literally, it goes until you and your things can go neck deep into the water. Meaning you end up owning a part of the water itself. So then if somebody would go and he would be machzik beraksa denahara, slukinami misalkinimle, we would actually remove him. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that therefore, being that when you own oceanfront property, you actually own a piece of the ocean. So if somebody would go now and he would be machzik in land right next to the water, we assume it already belongs to somebody. Because there's probably someone that lives along the river somewhere. And as a result, his block and lot, it really extends itself all the way into the water. So it comes that you're being machzik in property that belongs to somebody else, and being that you're being machzik in property that belongs to somebody else, it's for that reason, saluki nami misalkinele. In other words, mitzad the halacha that you violated this principle, that you're not let her do anything too close to the river for that saluki nami misalkinele. But this is something else. Here, the bistacha prostaganef, right? You're stealing. Why are you stealing? Because really, this property belongs to somebody else. Why does it belong to somebody else? Because he owns property 100 yards away. But included in the law is that you get to go all the way into the water. So now already you are taking something that belongs to somebody. Oh, you're taking something that belongs to somebody. That's a whole different Shulchan Aruch. That's Bavis 101. It's for that reason. Saluki, nami misalkinile. Taisu says, not mashman, that's Pshan in the Gemara. Taisu says, I think it means something else. It's not the word saluki, nami misalkinile because you're taking away somebody else's property. It's the same exact halacha. If you park yourself next to the nar, chatzifa, because you're violating the halacha of the beginning of today's daf, but at the same time, salukim esalkinale. But now that the Rabbanon said you actually own a part of the river, now salukim esalkinale. Because if you're going to own a part of the river, so you don't just now own area near the river, which can get in the way, you actually own a part of the river. That's going to get even more in the way. And that's why Saluki Nami Misalkinele. So it's not Saluki Nami Misalkinele because we view you as a ganef. Saluki Nami Misalkinele because of this Ikar Halacha. So sometimes Saluki because of this Halacha, sometimes no Saluki because of this Halacha, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. If you descend the name of Rav, Haiman, the Achzik Beni Achiyu Beni Shutfi. Let's say there were two brothers that owned property close by, and there was a vacant piece of property in between them. Or there were two shutfin that owned property, and there was a vacant piece of property in between them. And now somebody goes, and he says, let me be machzik in this vacant piece of property. I'm going to pay the taxes per this Persian law, and I'm going to own it. So it says, Rav Chatzifa Havi, this person is a mechutzif, a besaluke loy misalkinale. We're not going to remove you. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman said, Nami misalkina. No, this is such a chutzpah, we're even going to be misalkin. Now, what's the chutzpah? The chutzpah is that if two partners own properties to the two sides, so they probably want to own this property in between. You also want to own this property in between, right? Mechtesi, my chazi, the dame didach sumektvei. You know, maybe it's true, but at the same time, you can go acquire another piece of property. Who said you have to have this piece of property? So it's for that reason, we don't like it. For sure, it's a chutzpah. Machloikis ha-meiram, whether misalkinalei or loy misalkinalei, says the Gemara of Mishum Dina de Bar Metzro, loy misalkinalei. Let's say it's not a situation, we have two brothers or two partners that are on the two sides of this property, but it's a classic Dina de Bar Metzro. So what's Dina de Bar Metzro? It's going to be the topic of the remainder of today's daf. Very, very geschmack apart to today's daf. But either way, if what we're handling over here is Dina de Bar Metzro, where somebody owns an adjacent piece of property, and he says, why are you being machzik in it? I would have preferred to be machzik in it. So it's not the vart, there's one shutif that owns to the right, another shutif owns to the left, and you're taking the one smack in between. No, it's a classic Bar Metzro. I'm a neighbor to the right, and I actually was looking to buy this one as well. Meaning, I didn't realize that time was of the essence. Now that I see you took it, I'm going to match the offer. I want to take it. If it's a question of Dina de Bar Metzro, for sure, loy misalkinale. Meaning, in between two brothers, in between two shutfin, there it's a machloikis. But if it's a shayla bar metzro, for sure, loy misalkinale. Nardoy amri, Nardoy said, afilu mishum Dina de Bar Metzro misalkinale. Even if it's a question of Dina de Bar Metzro misalkinale, mishum shenemar, and the reason is because it says in the Torah, "Va'asisa hayotzer v'hatoyv be'enei Hashem." This is a pasuk in Parshas Va'aschanon. "Va'asisa hayotzer v'hatoyv be'enei Hashem l'man yitavloch uvasa v'yorash." That's the aretz hatoyv v'hashem nishba Hashem la'avisecho. This pasuk is ki'ilu, quote unquote, the makar to the halacha of Dina de Bar Metzro. We're going to see more about this, but the point is that being that a person has an obligation, and it almost sounds like a biblical obligation to follow the halacha of Dina de Bar Metzro. So therefore, if you violated a pasuk in the Torah, v'asnisa yosha atoy b'enei Hashem, you violate Dina Bar Metzro. Now, this is going to be the theme of the rest of the daf. What's the halacha that underpins Dina de Bar Metzro? V'asnisa hayosha atoy b'enei Hashem. Meaning that if this person has a benefit by owning this property, even though you also do, but you could just as equally own another piece of property. You don't dafka have to have this one. And it's for sure more in his interest to own it because he's the next door neighbor than for you to own it. Al zeh nemar v'osisa yoshev atoyev, you should do what's grud and you should do what's good in the eyes of Hashem. And therefore, from that begets the halacha of Dina de Bar Metzro. Now, our Gemara just discussed the concept of Dina de Bar Metzro in the context of this obscure Persian halacha that was prevalent in the times of Shmuel. But the truth is, what's your classic Dina de Bar Metzro? Your classic Dina de Bar Metzro is when you want to buy a piece of property, the halacha is that the Bar Metzro, someone that shears a grenitz, right, that shears a fence with this piece of property, he has a right of first refusal. And he gets to choose to buy this property before you. You have an obligation to shtel tzu to that. It's not so much a chayshe mishpat gedin, but it's more based on this warm and fuzzy concept of asisa hayoshev atoy be'emi Hashem. So the Gemara now is going to pivot and discuss some more classic halachos related to Dina de Bar Metzro. Really, the Shulchan Aruch of Dina de Bar Metzro is Meseches Bava Metzia Daf Kufcha. Says the Gemara, Ose Imlechbe. Somebody wanted to buy a piece of property. He knew there's a Bar Metzro. So he went to the neighbor and he consulted with him. And he said, Amalei Ezel Izbun. He says, I want to buy this piece of property. Are you okay with it? Amalei told him, Zulzvain, yeah, no worries, go buy it. Do I have to make a kinyan or do I not have to make a kinyan? Meaning, it's not necessary for the person that wants to go buy now to actually make a kinyan in order for the bar mitzvah to be in effect, or does he not have to make a kinyan? Meaning, when the bar mitzvah waives his rights of din of the bar mitzvah, does he have to do so with a kinyan or not? Meaning, if he says no worries, he just waived his rights of bar mitzvah and now you can buy it and he can't match it anymore, or there has to be a kinyan. Now, what's the tzad you should have to make a kinyan? What do you mean? If you said it, you said it. So Rashi says it could be if all you did was say it, is afterwards you could say meshata anibach. And this is an idea that, of course, you find throughout Shas that, yeah, of course I didn't mean it. Like an asmachta loikanya, meshata anibach. And it's for that reason there was an ibaya in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, so what's the bottom line? Ravina says, you don't have to make a kinyan. You do have to make a kinyan. Vehilchas and Allah is tzarech l'miknei minei. You have to make a kinyan. Says the Gemara, a big lumdus that we're going to gloss over. Hashta the amrit tzarech l'miknei minei. Now that you're telling me that if somebody goes up to somebody and says, I want to buy a piece of property, I know you have right of first refusal based on bar mitzvah, and he says, no worries, go ahead and buy it, you would have to make a kinyan in order for the rights to be waived. What would be if a kinyan was not made and this guy in the meantime went and he bought it? The halach is, ayakir vizol b'shusay. If it goes up in value or down in value, you're going to have to give it to the bar mitzvah, to the real neighbor. And not just that, any profits and losses are going to be incurred by who? By the bar mitzvah. And the reason is because being that you never made a kinyan, so you didn't have a right to buy it for yourself. When you bought it, we view you as buying it as a shliach for the bar mitzvah. Shluchay shel adam kamaisai. It's as if the bar mitzvah bought it. If the bar mitzvah bought it, any profits and losses belong to the owner. He is the owner, and it's for that reason everything is going to be on his tab, says the Gemara. Zovan b'meyo v'shavi masa. What happens if somebody goes and he buys a piece of property? He bought it for $100, but really it was worth $200. And then a bar mitzvah comes and he says, I did it, the bar mitzvah, I want it. Halach is he gets it. The question is, how much does he pay? Does he pay $100 or does he pay $200? On the one hand, it's worth $200. Maybe he should have to pay $200. But then again, the lekeach bought it for $100, so I have to match the offer. You paid $100. So the Marsal Chazinon, we do a little bit of an investigation and we tried to see. If this Moichah, when he sold it for $100, Hagame was worth $200. He would have sold it for $100 for anybody. I mean, it's not like he had some special relationship with this guy that he gave it to him at a big discount. He would have sold it to everybody like that. Then Yavle Meya, the Shokale. Okay, so then obviously this person was willing to sell it for $100, match the offer of $100, and you get to keep it. The Eloi, if however not, meaning he wasn't going to sell it to anybody for $100, he was selling it to this guy for $100. Oh, then Yavle Masan Vishakale. Then we say that really his price is $200. If this guy's the Lekeach, I'll sell it for $100. But if this guy's not the Lekeach, because of Dina de Bar Metzra, so then what? Then I have to give $200. So it's interesting because what Pashtus can end up happening is the Lekeach gave $100 to the Moicher. Now you want to buy it from the Lekeach? No problem. You're going to have to give him $200. The Lekeach is the middleman. He's going to end up making a nice fee on this geschäft. He's going to end up making $100. What would be fools the opposite? Zovim b'maslan. This person, the original Moicher, sold something to somebody for $200. V'shav yimeya. And it was really worth $100. So it was just the opposite. He overcharged for what it is that he sold. And then there's a bar mitzvah that comes and he says, I want it. So the Gemara says, Sabar mino, the Bnei Yeshiva thought, Matzi Amale, that maybe the bar mitzvah could say, L'tkuni shidartich v'loy lavusi. So this is a follow-up on the previous lumdus. We said earlier, when somebody buys something, and there's a din of the bar mitzvah, we view that lekeach as buying it b'shlichus of the bar mitzvah. Ad kidei kach, if it ends up going up or down in value, who's the one that incurs the profits and the losses? It's not the Lekeach, it's not the original Moicher, it's the Bar Mitzvah. So the Bnei Yeshiva thought that being that the way we view that Mekach is as a Shlichus to get Mekach, we know in Shlichus, if I make you a Shlich to do something and then you end up being Mekalkol, it knocks out the whole Shlichus. So the Bnei Yeshiva thought that maybe the original Mecher is not a Mecher, and we unwind the original transaction and we fangun fun umfang. But the Gemara says, "Amalei Makashit Breid Rav Chizal Rav Ashni Hachi Amri Nardoi Mishum Rav Nachman." I'll tell you what Nardoi says. The name Rav Nachman Ein Oinol Karkois. Bar Mitzvah is only by Karka, by the way, and Ein Oinol Karkois. I mean that Ein Oinol Karkois. So there's no such thing that you overpaid, you underpaid, and based on that, there's no Litkuni Shidartich Bloy Lavusi. As a result, the Mechira is going to be an effective Mechira. Zavon Le Griva the Arab Mitzvah Nichsei. Another interesting story. What happens if somebody goes over to his friend and he says, "I want to buy a field"? Okay, no worries. I don't need a whole field. I just want a couple of square feet within a field. He says, no problem. Where would you like? So he surveys the field and he says, I want smack in the middle of the field. I want you to carve out this box, dalit al dalit, and this is what I'm going to take. Interesting. So he's buying a parcel of land smack in the middle of somebody's field. Smells a little fishy, as we're about to say. So the Gemara says, chazinon. We analyze the situation a little bit. Meaning, if that was the best piece of property that this person had, if this was his idios, or it was the worst piece of property that he had. Okay, so then we say it's a transaction, it's a legitimate transaction. We have nothing further to discuss. The case is adjoined. Everybody can go home. The Eloi, but if not, then a roommate come out. Then we assume that maybe this person is looking to play a little bit of shtick. What's the shtick? So Rashi tells us the shtick. The shtick is that this person wanted really to be able to buy the rest of the field. The problem is he knew he'd never be able to get the field. The reason he'd never be able to get the field is because there's a bar metzra, and the bar metzra is going to chop a mois. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make myself a bar metzra as well. So what he did was he bought a piece of property smack in the middle of the field. Now every single direction, north, south, east, and west, is all his metzra. So he's ochet the bar metzra, just like the neighbor is. So if you buy a piece of property with the express intent of now being able to knock out Yenim's bar metzra, Irume Komarim, and you lose your bar metzra. It's interesting. Meaning you found a way to circumvent the law. It's not okay. And really, if you appreciate the spirit of bar metzra, Vosisa Yashar HaToiv, that is the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is be Yashar HaToiv. And what you're doing now is not Yashar HaToiv. And being that it's not Yashar HaToiv, it's for that reason, Irume Komarim, we knock this out. Now, as Machlokes Rishonim, what it means, Irume Komarim. Some Rishonim say that it just means you don't have the right of bar metzra. You know what other Rishonim say? The Mechira, the Etzim, purchase of the land smack in the middle of the field is not even going to be valid. Irume Kamara, we knock out the whole transaction. Mikano bal mafrei, we literally root it out. You end up with nothing. Says the Gemara. Matana less ba mishum dina de bar metzor. If somebody gives somebody a gift, there's no halacha of dina de bar metzor. Why not? Says Pasha. Because what's dina de bar metzor? Why do you have to buy this piece of property? Buy the other piece of property. Ah, you want this? I hear you want this, but this guy also wants this, and it's more valuable to him than it is to you. And as a result, therefore, there's no reason for you to take it. Incidentally, there's an interesting Rashi on Amud Aleph that we forgot to speak out. Rashi Dibra Maschel Vosisa Yoshev Atoiv. So Rashi says, Dovar Shi'i Ato Nechser Kolkach. The criteria is that we're I Ato Nechser Kolkach. Meaning, if I'm going to lose because of some concession I make, I'm not obligated to do that. Let's say I'm not going to lose at all, but you're going to benefit. Oh, that's Koifan Al Midastoy. That's what we know as Zen Nene Vizel Echaser. Vasisa Yoshev HaToiv kicks in with Adova Shiat and Nechser Kolkach. When you're losing a little bit, but you're not losing so much. If somebody gives you a gift, right? So what are you going to say? Oh, I could always get a gift on the West Coast. Who says I have to get it on the East Coast? Really? Mehechatesi. It doesn't work that way. Right? You can't draw up a business plan where you're going to get gifts. And as a result, so over here, I'm really losing. It's not iato nechser kol kach. So here you don't have the halacha bar metzra. Rameim said ikos of leachrayis ispa. Let's say somebody gives somebody a gift and then he wink winks. He tells him, I'm giving you a gift. However, I'm taking full responsibility. So if somebody takes this gift away, I'm going to give you another gift. Over the EF did it the bar metzra, and Rashi says, quote, the last bright teshira, divadai mecherhu. Because over here it's for sure a mecher. Shein kois van achrayis al matan. Never heard such a thing that you write achrayis al matan. We'll get back to this in the raid. But I never heard of such a thing that you write achrayis al matan. And it's for that reason, over here we look at it as a mecher. If it's a mecher, you have dina de bar metzor. Mecher kol nechasim le'echad. Let's say you sold all your nechasim to one person. Less ba mishum dina de bar metzor. So somebody is liquidating all his nechasim. And he sells them all to one person. He's one big sale. One of the properties has a dina de bar metzor. Says the Gemara, there's no dina de bar metzor. And the reason is, because here too, could be this person wants to buy everything. And if he doesn't buy everything, then he's going to end up losing out. So if one piece of property ends up being siphoned off, so over here, it's not in a chasek kol kach, I'm actually losing more. And it's for that reason the laws of Bar Metzra don't apply. Again, the laws of Bar Metzra apply where I'm not losing so much. So over there, basis ha-yoshev ha-toy. But if you can somehow quantify my loss as not being enoy chasek kol kach, then it's already different. L'baylam ha-rishoynim, less b'mishom dina de Bar Metzra. If you sell something to the baylam ha-rishoynim, there's also no dina de Bar Metzra. So what's the case? The case is I bought something from somebody 10 years ago. Now I'm selling it. Okay, when I sell it, the neighbor comes and says, Dina de Bar Metzra. But the person I'm selling it to is the guy that I bought it from 10 years ago. There's no Dina de Bar Metzra, and the reason is because for a person to reacquire something that he once had is also Yashar and Toiv. Because he probably sold it out of desperation, Moicher Otsev, like the Gemara says. And it's for that reason, the same Yashar and Toiv that there is to sell to the neighbor, there is to sell to the Baila Marishan. Zovin may akim, if somebody buys from a guy, or Vizovin la akim, or he sells to a guy, that's what Mishum did to the Bar Metzah, there's no did to the Bar Metzah. Zovin may akim, the reason if you buy from a guy, there's no did to the Bar Metzah, because he could tell him, Ari Avrichi Lachmi Metzrach. He could say that, you know what, neighbor, I understand you wanted this piece of property. Be happy with what I just did. I bought this piece of property from an Eina Yehudi, and as a result, just pizza freedom. By the way, all the Rishonim ask, what kind of tain is that? It's very nice, you did me a favor, but I want you to do me another favor, and I have a right of Dina de Bar Metzra to be able to buy myself. I mean, it's very, very nice. You were the one that got this, right? You're in a Yiddish area, and there's one Eina Yehudi that owns a piece of property, and you were the one that got him to sell. But I still have Dina de Bar Metzra. Because you did me one solid, that means you don't have an obligation to do me another? Like, what's Pasha Pshat? I am Berishoyna. Zovin le'akim, if you sell to a guy, so over there, there's also no Dina de Bar Metzra. Why not? Because Akim Vadi, Lav Bar, Vasisa Yoshev HaToivu. Because an Akim is not a Bar, Vasisa Yoshev HaToiv. And as a result, what are you going to do? You're going to be Teveim. It's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Nayach. And as a result, you have no ability to be able to take it from him, says the Gemara, stating that if somebody sells something to Akum, Shamuti Vadim Meshamtinali, we put him in Chirim, that's intense. Adam Ekabel Olea Kol Unsi Dasle Machmase. Meaning, if you sell to a guy in a Yiddish neighborhood, we put you in Chirim until you sign off on the following document that basically says that any damage that's going to happen as a result of the fact that he's our neighbor, you're taking full responsibility for, says the Gemara. Mashkanta lespa mishum dina de Bar Metzra. If you have a mashkanta, so we're talking about a malva that has a piece of property from a loiva. So the halach is we view the malva, if he wants to buy this piece of property out, so the halach is he could. You can keep it as his mashkin, and the Bar Metzra can't have any tainas. Domer Rav Ashi said, I heard from the elders of the city Masa Mechasi, a very prominent city in Babylonia. My mashkanta, why is a mashkanta called a mashkanta? What's the etymology of the word? The shchunagabe, because it's by him. By him meaning, I'm ki'ilu the Bar Metzra. I'm more the Bar Metzra than you. And as a result, I come first. My nafkeminu ladina the Bar Metzra. Limkar berachayk veligal bekarf. Let's say there was somebody who was selling a piece of property. Now, this piece of property that he was selling was far away from where he lived. And what he's doing is, he's doing an exchange. Meaning, I'm selling and I'm buying at the same time. These two closings are happening simultaneously. So I'm going to sell something that's far, and I'm going to buy something that's closer, which of course is a benefit. Or bira, the liga b'yafa, or somebody sells something bad. He had this ziburis piece of property that he's looking to sell, and he's going to buy something good. Lespa mishum dina de Bar Metzra. You don't have the halacha of dina de Bar Metzra. And the reason is because we're afraid that if you're going to start with dina de Bar Metzra now, the closing is going to end up getting extended, right? This person is going to say, I want to buy it, but I need time. I need 30 days due diligence, yada, yada, yada. And as a result, this person who needs to sell this, a shtickle out of desperation, because he has an opportunity of a lifetime, of limka beracha, if liga bekara, if limka berav, if liga beyafa, we don't want the maicha to lose out. So what are you going to say? Dina de Bar Metzra, vasisa yashata over the neighbor. Chmenocha mamas akind. What about dina de Bar Metzra of the maicha? Meaning the vasisa yashavat toiv the moicher. So it's for that reason, the law of dina de Bar Metzra is not going to apply. Lekargo the mezainu lekvura less b'mishum dina de Bar Metzra. Let's say somebody's selling off a piece of property lekargo because he has to pay a tax bill. He just doesn't have the money. Well, the mezaini he needs to support his wife or he needs to support yisaimim. Bonois ein Rashi or the kfura or for kfura for burial purposes. There's no dina de Bar Metzra, and the reason is the army nardo. It's based on a psak of nahardo. The cargo of mazainu the kfura for these three things mazavina b'lei achrasa. So ordinarily, if the courts would sell something, there was a whole process. The gemara and then the Bava Kama talks about this. How they would sell 30 days, another 30 days, another 30 days. Right? The courts don't just sell things, but for these things, they would sell without any achrosa. And the reason is because these are desperate sellers. They need the money yesterday. And it's for that reason we can't play games. So just like they would sell b'lei achrastos, so too you don't have the laws of dina de bar mitzvah. And again, it's based on the fact that dina de bar mitzvah just schleps out the process a little bit. Another halacha, li'isha u'liyasmi u'lishutfi lespa mishum dina de bar mitzvah. If somebody's selling to a woman, the bar mitzvah can't come and all of a sudden make a claim. If somebody sells to yesoimim, there's no dina de bar mitzvah. Or if somebody sells to his own shutif, there's no dina de bar mitzvah. And Rashi says, by an isha and yesoimim, there's no dina de bar mitzvah. And the reason is because it's not the derech for them to go and make them have to now find another piece of property. Meaning it's hard enough for them to find something and engage in business transactions, which is really something that's not something they're accustomed to doing. So if they have an opportunity, what are you going to say? Instead of buying this, go buy something else. No, the Vasisa Yosheva Toiv is actually to give it to the Isha and the Yisayimim as it relates to a Shutif. A Shutif always comes first, and it's for that reason in these cases there's no Dina de Bar Mitzvah. One last Gemara. Shcheinei Ha'ir. The Shcheinei Sadeh, Shcheinei Ha'ir Kaitin. So there's a long Rashi over here with a little bit of drama, Ayin Sham. But Rashi says that this halach is actually a brief digression. It's not talking about Dina de Bar Mitzvah. But it's talking about somebody that has a piece of property and he wants to sell it. No Dina de Bar Mitzvah. Snidokhan Bar Mitzvah. But he has two offers on the table and he's considering which one he should take. Should I sell it to Pliny or should I sell it to Pliny? So if one of them is his neighbor, they live together in the same city, and the other one is his neighbor. They have fields next to each other. So the assumption is you should sell to your shachin. It's like the decent thing to do. You want to know who comes first? It's your shachin in the city, not your shachin in the field. Shachin v'talmud chacham. Let's say I can sell to a shachin, I can sell to a talmud chacham. Talmud chacham koitman. Karev v'talmud chacham. Let's say I can sell to my relative or I can sell to a talmud chacham. Talmud Chacham Koidim, the chashivas of doing business with a Talmud Chacham, right? The Gemara talks about this. If someone's mahan a Talmud Chacham in a chasav, if someone's oisa pragmatia for a Talmud Chacham, it's a very chashiva thing. So Talmud Chacham always goes first. Ibailu, Shachin, the Karev, Mai. So the Shachin and the Karev, they both lost out to the Talmud Chacham. Shachin, the Talmud Chacham, Talmud Chacham, Karev, the Talmud Chacham, Talmud Chacham. So what happens if the two losers in those deals, the Shachin and the Karev, they face off against each other? Who should you go to? Tashma. It's a pasuk. Shlomo HaMelech already addressed it. He said, "Toiv shachin karoiv me'ach rachoik." A shachin karoiv is more valuable than an ach rachoik, and as a result, you should sell to your shachin. You should not sell it to your karoiv. Exhale. So, just to end with one ha'ara, and this is davar be'itoy matoiv. The Gemara, everyone knows this Gemara, in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches Amud Bei says that B'shosha Ola Moshe L'Amorim, when Moshe Rabbeinu ascended the heavens to be Mekabel the Torah, Amru Malachi Ashores L'Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Malachi Ashores said in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Malu Yilod Yishe Beineinu. Why is there a human being here? This is not the mechitzos of where human beings usually are. Amar Lensi told them, Lekabel Torah Ba. This human being came to be Mekabel Torah. Said the Malachi Ashores, why would you give the Torah to Bnei Adam? Meaning, you're taking your Torah and you're bringing it down to Olam Hazeh, to the Olam HaShafel? I think that the Torah should be better by us. And Moshe Rabbeinu learned, said a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Kavi Yochel, and he says, I'm stumped. I think the Malachim are making a good argument. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Achoyz Bechisei Kvoidi, V'anei Lehem Tshuva. And of course, the rest is history. The Sfarim HaKdoshim, U'Beroshem Bechida, in a bunch of places says, that what was the taina of the Malachi HaShnores, Malu Yolud, Isha Beinenu, T'na Hoitcha LaShemayim, I believe the Torah belongs in Shemayim. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to sell the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to give the Torah away. Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem toirasi al tazoifu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to sell the Torah to who? He was going to sell it to the Yeludishas. He was going to sell it to the people that are Sheikh Neyafar, that live in this world. So the Malachi Asharis came at a time and they said, why are you giving it to the Bnei Adam? We want it. Eibush said, I don't know, this is what I decided to do. Tiny the Malachi Asharis, there's a sugya Masechtas Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Ches that it says if somebody has something that he wants to sell, there's a locha called Dina the Bar Metzra, so that if I'm the Bar Metzra and I'm closer to this thing that it is you're selling, I'm the one that gets to keep it. And Torah is Doch B'Shamayim, and as a result, I think this is something you have to keep over here based on the fact that we have the schus of Dina the Bar Metzra. It says the Chida in a whole bunch of places that you want to know what the time of the Malachi Asharis was. Today's daf, mamish. It's Dina de Bar Metzra. Vosisa Yoshev Atoy Vakadosh Baruch Hu would be to leave it by us. And that was their taina of Tana Hoyt Chalo Shamayim. So the question is, what's Takib Shat? Now you have the whole mysterious Gemara where Moshe Rabbeinu answers, I'm afraid, Achoyz Bechisei Kvoidi, and then answer, and then Moshe Rabbeinu's not afraid. Oh, but at the end of the day, there's a halacha of Dina de Bar Metzra. And if there's a halacha of Dina de Bar Metzra, so how you talking that the Eibishter was able to take the Torah and give it to Bnei Adam and not leave it by the Malachim? What happened to Vasisa HaYoshev HaToyv? So on Yontif, my brother-in-law Yaakov Mel, he showed me a beautiful Maramakim. It's in the Sefer Kemoitze Shalom Rav. It's on Shavuos, and it's under the heading of B'Shasha Olam Moitze Lamarim. It starts on page Kuf Pei Vav, and it goes for pages and pages and pages, where he was malakit a whole bunch of different mahalchim from the Gedolei Achronim to answer this kasha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Torah that's in Shemayim, and he brings it down to Olam Hazeh. The Malachim want it based on Dina de Bar Metzra. What's Takib Shah? What happened to Dina de Bar Metzra and Hayatachin HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to violate this halacha? So just mention a few of the Mahalchim. Rabbi Yisrael Chanan, Specter, in his Akdama, the Shailos Rechuv is Nachal Yitzchak. So we know Rabbi Yisrael Chanan, the Kovner Rav, Gaan HaGa'oin Mamish. He wrote Shailos Rechuv is Ber Yitzchak, Ein Yitzchak. He also wrote Nachal Yitzchak, which is on Chol Shem Mishpat. And in his Akdama to Nachal Yitzchak, he talks about Chshivas HaTorah. It's Mamish required reading for Zman Matan Torah saying right now. And he says, Dvarim Neflam over there. One of the things that Rabbi Yisrael Chanan discusses is he brings a medrash. The medrash says as follows. The pasuk says, Olisa lamorim, shavisa shevi. It's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Olisa lamorim. He ascended the heavens to be mekabel the Torah, shavisa shevi. And when he was there, he took captives with him. Says the medrash, davarachar. What does this mean? Benoyik shaba oylam, hanichnas la medina. If somebody enters a medina and he wants to take captives, what does he take? Noitel davar she'ein. Ain Bnei HaMedina Olav. He'll take something that maybe people are not going to notice. He's not going to brazenly walk into a city and siphon off something that everybody's looking at. Moshe, however, Olav Amorim, V'nota Lesatoyro, Shehoyu Akol Noisin Eineim Olav. But Moshe Rabbeinu went Lamorim, and what did he take? He took the Torah, which is something that everybody was staring at. The Malachi Asharis wanted this. All eyes were on the Torah. And at the same time, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu took. Heavy. And that's what the Pasuk means. Olisa Lamorim, Shavisa Shevi, Mamish with a certain chutzpah de ktusha, Moshe Rabbeinu takes the Torah Mamish out of the eyes, out of the clutches of the Malachim. Yochel says, the Medrash Bnei Sheshava Oysa Not L'chinam. Now you would have thought that being that Moshe Rabbeinu took it, right, Shavisa Shevi, so you would think that maybe he got it for free. Meaning, sounds like he just took it and ran off. Talmud Omer says, the Medrash, it says, L'kachto matonois ba'odam. What does the word lakachto mean? Belekicho nitnoloi. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu belekicho. Now, yochel yehei chayv liten loy damim. Okay, so if it's a lekicho, it wasn't for free, so you would think Moshe Rabbeinu pulled out his proverbial credit card and he swiped, right? That's not for free. Talmud Leimer, it says no. Lakachto matonois ba'adam. Talmud Leimer matonois b'matono nitnoloi. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu b'matono. Says Rabbi Yisrael Chanan, ve'ein ha-medrash hazeh, Oimer Elo Dirsuni. It's a shtickle on Medrash Plius. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes up Lamorim. We know the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Peches on the days that we mentioned briefly a moment ago. But in this Medrash, Olisa Lamorim Shavisa Shevi, and he took something that was Hakoil Noisin Einayim Aleh. Now you would have thought it was Bechinam. No, it says Lokachta. You would have thought that he had to pay. It says Matanois. What was it? I don't know. It wasn't Bechinam, but at the same time, it was Bechinam. What was it? It was Lokachta Matanois. Tonois ba'adam. On the one hand, there was a mekach. On the other hand, there was a matar. So what was it? What was the transaction of the Torah? Was it a mekach or was it a matan? So the emphasis, we have raid on this. We've spoken out from Rabbi Itzela in his Akhtamah to Shai Al-Sachuvah's Pre-Yitzchak and from the Hilgach Samsoi from the Sechtens Dorm Dachnun Hei. Then on the one hand, you find that Torah was given by matana. On the other hand, you find that Torah is a mekach. Ki lekach toiv nasati lechem toirasi al tazoivu. But here, Rabbi Yitzchak Chana is focusing on one medrash that seems to say it was both. Lakachta matonois. Lakachta is miloshen mekach, which means yachal bechinam, no. Talmud loy mar belokicha nitnoloy. But at the same time, it says matonois. So yachal yechayev liten loy domim, talmud loy mar matonois. This medrash seems to be magder. The transaction of a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael as Olokachta Matonis, which at first glance is an oxymoron. It's a Tarte de Sasi. Says Rabbi Yisrael Chonon, a Dover Niflo. He says, the Gemara says in Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Chof Vav Amir Aleph. The Gemara over there is talking about someone who gives somebody a Matana, but at the same time, he gives him the matana beloshen mecher. So the exact context is not really relevant right now. But the Gemara says, quote, Rav Ashi Yomar, Rav Ashi said, b'matana bikesh litnoloi. In that transaction, this person who gave his field to his friend, really what he wanted to give him was a gift. V'lom akosov leiloshen mecher. So why did he write it beloshen mecher? K'dei liyapis eskoichai. To be miyapis eskoichai. Rashi says, what does it mean, k'dei liyapis eskoichai? If you give somebody a matana, and then someone takes the matana away from that recipient, if you sell something to somebody, certainly if you're Makabal Achrayas, and sometimes Achrayas is Toy Sofer, so then if somebody goes and takes it away, so what's the halacha? You have to make him whole. That's the concept of Achrayas that you have by Mechira that you don't have Baton. So says Rav Ashi, as it relates to that funny language and that funny transaction, where it was Mashma, it was a Maton, it was Mashma, it was a Mecher, really it was the Maton of Pike Shlitnoloi. V'lom akosav le'loshem Mecher, so why was it written b'loshem Mecher? K'dei liyapis es koichoi, to be miyapis koyach, so there should be an element in Achrayas. In other words, it's a matana b'Achrayas. Where do we have a matana b'Achrayas? Today's daf, right? In today's daf, we had a matana b'Achrayas. But says the Gemara, Kedushin Chavav Amar Aleph, Sadah Azam Musik. So again, this guy wanted to give a gift. So he wrote it b'losh matana. But then he added language of mecher because he also wanted this person to have a chayas. He says, I understand. If this person wants to give this field and he wants to give it b'achrayas, so why are you getting so far planted? Why are you giving it b'losha matana and being makabal achrayas? Then toimer b'loma kosov le b'losha matana. Why do you even write the losha matana? Let it just be a sale. Do it for the proverbial $1 of consideration and gevalda. You're going to have achrayas. Why are you getting involved in losha matana? Why are you overcomplicating what seems to be a seemingly simple transaction? We understand why you want the language of mechira zoktosis for the kabbalah achrayas. A matana doesn't have achrayas. But vos felt that it should be a matana. Says Tosfos, half of a fell in light of today's daf. You want to know why Yechaps and Afgemino? It could be the reason he wrote the matana was Mishum Dina de Bar Metzra. It's because Dina de Bar Metzra. Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Ches that in the event that you sell something to somebody, it's a Dina de Bar Metzra. Or be matana less by Dina de Bar Metzra. Now he mutches a little bit, does Tosfos, that the Gemara also said if you give him matana, but Losha Mecha, could be there's no Dina de Bar Metzra. I'm Tosfos Kedushin Chavav. But Al Koponim said Rabbi Yisrael Gochanan, there's a precedent for this transaction. A transaction where it's a matana, but it's not 100% a matana because it's also a mecher. But it's a mecher, but not 100% mecher. It's also a matana. It's lokachta matanois. There's a concept of a shtar, was hot language for mecher and language for matana. Ahani, the language of mecher, asidu achrayas mitzad de noisin. The ahani, the language of matana, asinudu kaindir de bametzra. So it's Chachana Zachdom, Tanacha Yitzchuk said, half of a fella. He said, Yesh loima, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael, you're going to have the benefits of mecher and you're going to have the benefits of matana. He said, you're going to have the benefits of mecher, I'm taking full achrayas. Says Rabbi Yitzchuk, what does it mean? mean that the Eibusha takes Achrayas. What it means is he told Klal Yisrael, you're going to take the Torah. And as soon as Klal Yisrael was mekabel the Torah in Har Sinai, why was it called Har Sinai? Mishum she'shom yorda sin eloilon. And it means that you're going to have Golas, and you're going to have Tsaris, and there's going to be the best of times, but there's also going to be the worst of times. And when you're going to be in the matziv of Golas, you are not going to be assured that you're going to be able to hold on to this gift that I'm giving you, because the elements of Golas are going to be so terrible that very waste if you're going to be able to keep the Torah. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani maftiach lecha, I'm being mekabel achrayus on the Torah. And he says, I'm promising you that the Torah will never be forgotten. And that's why it was lakachto, because Hashem says, I'm being mekabel achrayus, like Rav Ashni's transaction in Kedusha Rabav Amar Aleph, that nothing will ever be able to happen to this Torah. And if it's ever taken away, full guarantee mitzad me, I'm going to make you whole. That I promise you, there's going to be a Kabbalah Sachrayas. But also, we said it's going to be a Matana. Why a Matana? So this is more al derech drush, says Rabbi Yisrael Chanan, because the emes is, when Moshe Rabbeinu went to be Mekabel the Torah, the Malachim had a Taina. What was the Taina? Tanahoitcha ala Shomayim. Tanahoitcha ala Shomayim. Why? Because of Dina de Bar Metzra. You know what the Teretz is? The Teretz is a Matana. And by Matana, it's in the Tokai, Dina de Bar Metzra. But Al Kapanim, Zakh Rabbi Yisrael Chanan, that was the Nakud over here. That on the one, I'm being Mekabel Achrayas. I'm being mekabel achrayas. That's kiloisi shachach mi pizaroi. That's the lokachto. But at the same time, it's bematonis. What's the value of being bematonis? The value of pnina matonis is that there shouldn't be a din of the bar mitzvah. Either way, the hakdomadir is half love a fellow mamish. He says so many beautiful things. One of the things he says is something that we spoke at not long ago in the name of the Vilna Gaon. So Chana was mechavim to the Gaon. The Gaon is in Shir Ashirim, where the Gemara says that shaloi kamidas hakadosh baruch midas bas of adam. A bas of adam that sells something, the moicher is always otzev and the loike is happy, right? Anytime a person sold, it was considered to be coming from a place of weakness. So the Meicher was Otze, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu sells the Torah, and he's very besimcha. Ki lekach toim nasati lechem, teirasi al tazoivu. So Frank Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, really, it's a goyin. What's the mechir of the Torah? Meaning, when a Meicher sells something, why is he Otze? He doesn't have it anymore. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klai Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have the Torah. Klai Yisrael has the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has the Torah. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, because we know Torah lebe shamayimi. And who gets to decide the Amitos HaTorah? It's not in Shemayim anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eliezer ben Ikachu Oimer, Aviyose ben Ikachu Oimer, right? But who gets to paskin the halach? In Shemayim, it's Elu ve'Elu. But over here, who's Machriya? Who paskins what the halach is? It's Va'or, it's Nosan Levnei Adam. Like the Ktzoy says in the Akdom. Incidentally, Rabbi Tzachan quotes the Ktzoy Tzachdom that we always quote. Emes me Eretz Titzmach. That Emes is going to come from the Eretz. Because we're the ones that get to determine and get to be Koveya, the Amita of the Amitos. That's where the mechira was, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is will a mechira give something up. What's he giving up? This is what he gives. This is what he's giving up. This is what Rabbi Yisrael Chanan says, and it's really a going in Shir Hashim. Another beautiful aura that he says is that you find this idea that when a person's mechadish Torah, the Torah becomes his. It says your chiddush is your Torah, and this is something that you have lenetzach nitzachim mamish. It's your Torah. But not just that, it becomes part of your neshama, it becomes part of your oitzer, your treasury in the next world. He says, Ad kidei kach, he says, we know in this world there's halacha. There has to be halacha. Right? You can't have a functioning society without halacha. So if it's a machloikis tanoim, machloikis amayram, you have to be machriya. We pass like Rava, except for the Yalkagams. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan, the Bar Mitlas, etc., etc. There has to be a shulchan aruch. But in Shemayim, if someone is mechavin to a dvar emes, and liboy is l'shamayim, and he goes to his Torah, b'kedusha v'tahayro, u'besvaru yeshara, there's an inyan of elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim, he quotes a ritva, mesach this erev and daf yud gimel on the base, that the baskel said regarding b'sham v'sil, elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim v'alocha ki b'sil. So the Gemara says, I understand, if it's elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim, what does it mean alocha ki b'sil? That's the Gemara. But says the ritva, in shamayim it's elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always saying over all the Gemaras from Ploini and Yoinus and Benikachu Oimer and Avyasa Benikachu Oimer, right? Because in Shemayim there's an Elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim. So he says one davar nifl toich dvar. He says a lot of dvar niflam, but just one that I think is good to mention. We always talk about the Gemara, about Yoyma Dashkafte the Rebbe, right? The day that Rebbe Danasi passed away, the Gemara Masech Tis Ksubas Daf Kuv Gimel, and the Gemara Masech Tis Ksubas Daf Kuv Dalet. So the Gemara says, Ahu Yoyma Dashkafte the Rebbe, Nofka Basko, The Omra Baskel came out and said, "Kol dahavi bashkafte de Rebbe, mezuman hu l'chayyeh l'maba." Any person that was bashkafte de Rebbe is mezuman l'chayyeh l'maba. So Gemara tells the story about the launderer who koivas every single day. He was there that day. He wasn't there. He heard about this and jumped off the roof. And a Baskel came out and said, "Afa hu koivas mezuman hu l'chayyeh l'maba." So says Rabbi Yisrael Chanan Hafuvafel. He says, "Whoever was there bashkafte de Rebbe is mezuman l'chayyeh l'maba." We know where's the parasha of the avoid of Yom Kippur. It's in Parshas Achrimos. How does Parshas Achrimos start? Achrimos Shnei Bnei Ahar. Say Chazal, Loma Nismecha Misas Nodav Aviyu to the Parsha of Yom Kippur. Loma Lecha. Just like Yom Kippur's Mechaper, so too Misas Sadikim also Mechaper. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan. We know Yom Kippur is only Mechaper with Tshuva. So if Yom Kippur is only Mechaper with Tshuva, so it's Pashim Misas Sadikim is also only Mechaper with Tshuva. So if a big tzaddik dies, it's a kapara, but only if you do Tshuva. Meaning, it's learned out from Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is Mechaper L'Shavim. So too, Mis Sadikim is only going to be Mechaper L'Shavim. Aber, says Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi has a Shita. In the end of Masechta Zuma, in Perik Yom HaKippurim, that Itzu Moishal Yom is Mechaper. It's Shita's Rebbe. According to Rebbe, Yom Kippur is Mechaper by itself. If according to Rebbe, Yom Kippur is Mechaper itself, even without doing Tshuva, because Itzu Moishal Yom is Mechaper, that means that Misa Sadikim is also going to be Mechaper. Itzu Moishal Yom is Mechaper. Now, we don't paskin like Rebbe. We paskin Yom Kippur is Mechaper L'Shoven. Of in Rebbe's world, Rebbe's chiddush was Itzu Moishal Yom is Mechaper ve'elu ve'elu divrei l'kim chayim. So in Oilam Haba, Rebbe has his halacha l'maisa in the world of Eilu ve'Eilu that Itzu Moishal Yom is Mechaper b'loy tshuva, which means a mitzadikim is also Mechaper b'loy tshuva. If that's the case, the Baskel came out and said, "Kol dahava bashkafte de Rebbe, kol l'rabbi is even someone that didn't do tshuva. Any person that was near mezuman hu l'chayyeh Oilam Haba." At that minute, it was gepaskin that he was going to go to Oilam Haba. And the reason is because Rebbe's in the Oilam HaEmes, and in Rebbe's welt, Eilu ve'Eilu divrei l'kim chayim, Itzu Moishal Yom is Mechaper on Yom Kippur, and if that's the case, Mitzadikim is also Mechaper. I'll find some of what's happening over here. The reason Yisrael Chanan was saying that was not to say a nice pilpul in a Gishmak Gemara that we have read on Ksubas Kuv Gimel. The point he was trying to bring out was the inyan of what it means that a person who's Mechadish Torah, who Horev is in learning, he gets the Torah B'Maton, it becomes his, and in the next world, his Chedushim is his reality. Again, you have to have Svar Yishara, you have to be Mechavin, you didn't do it in the right ways, etc., etc. But the bottom line is, this is a little bit of what's going on, but as it relates to this Kash, what happened to Dina de Bar Metzra, Ritzel Chonitz Teretz is, that's the Matono. Lokach the Matono. I mean that it was a Matono. It's for that reason there's no Dina de Bar Metzra. Another Teretz that he brings in the Sefer Kamoitz Shal Rav is a teretz from the Chidah that the Bnei Yisoscha brings in an art. And that is the Shach in the Halachis of Dina de Bar Metzra discusses what happens if somebody has a piece of property and he sells it. There's a Bar Metzra, but he sells the piece of property and he sells the piece of property to his son. Is there a Halach of Dina de Bar Metzra? Or is there no halacha of Dina de Bar Metzra? The Shach says, Tzorechin, I'm not sure, but he says in Svara, I think there should be no Dina de Bar Metzra. Dina de Bar Metzra is if I sell it to a stranger, but if I sell it to my son, not. And the reason the Shach says is because a person doesn't want to sell, right? The Moicher is Otsev. If I sell it to my son, so it stays in the family. And as a result, I'm not so ungesetzt. I'm not so ba'atzfus. And it's for that reason you don't have the element of Moicher Otsev. Thus, the Vasisa Yoshev Atoiv is klapi the moicher just like it is klapi the bar metzra, or it's klapi this loikeach from the moicher just like it is klapi the bar metzra, and just like you see in our Gemara, it has to be mamish einoi chaser kolkach, but to the extent I'm being chaser by the bar metzra taking it, so in that instance already you're not going to have the halacha of dina the bar metzra. So the Bnei Yisoscha brings from the Chidah that the Chidah said that based on that shach, and by the way, it's mefurish in the Shita Mekubetzes. What the Shach wasn't sure of, and he said Tzarechin, as a Mefurish, Shita Mekubetzes says the Chidah, on our daf here in Bava Metzia, daf Kufches, Kla Yisrael, Abonim Atam L'Hashem Aleikeichem, it's B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. And if that's the case, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he was selling it to his son. If he's selling it to his son, so there's no Allah of Dina de Bar Metzra. So the Bnei Yisoscha says very Gishmak. He says, Yesh Loim, the Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, Ki Sishma B'Koyl HaShem Aleikecha, Lishmer is Kol Mitzvoysov, Lasoiz HaYosher Be'inei HaShem Aleikecha. The very next pasuk is Bonim Atem LaShem Aleichem LoYisaskoydedu VeLoYisas Simu Karcha VeNeinechem LaMeis. Says the Bnei Yisoscha, what's the connection? What's the smichas between these two pesukim? So he says, Kishma, classic Bnei Yisrael. Kisishma, because Hashem alikach alas lishma is called mitzvahs of echulu. You're going to do all the mitzvahs, and now you're going to do the mitzvahs. Latsa hayoshev, ene Hashem alikach. You're also going to do yoshar. You'll be mekayim vasisa hayoshev atoiv, says the pasuk. One second. Vasisa hayoshev atoiv. Oh, you mean bava mitzia daf kufches. This is the source to the halacha of dina de bar metzra. If there's something called dina de bar metzra, so how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu able to give the Torah to the Bnei Yisrael, the Malachim are right. To Nahoit Chal HaShemayim. The Teretz is the next Pasuk. Bonim Atam L'Hashem Alekeichem. Because you're Bonim Atam L'Hashem Alekeichem, like the Shach says, and like it's Mefurish in the Shita Mekubetzes and Ar Sugyu, over there you're not going to have this issue. Just one last Teretz. And that is, he brings from a Meir Shapiro that said, and it's printed in the Sefer Imre Das in Parshas Mishpatim. So we know the Chazal say that Eser Mitzvos Nitztavu Yisrael B'Mara. Klai Yisrael were commanded 10 mitzvahs when they were in Mara. The 7 mitzvahs B'nei Noach, which they were Remakabel, right? They renewed their vows. Vaisifo Aleihem, 3 more mitzvahs. Dinin, the Shabbos, B'kibud Abay. That's the Nusach in the Gemara. Masechtes Sanhedrin. Daf Nun Vavam Abayis. So Meir Shapiro said, Yesh La'ayin. Why was it these 3 mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give Klal Yisrael B'mara? Right? It's very strange. Dinim, Shabbos, and Kibud Abayim. What do these 3 mitzvahs have in common? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have chosen these 3 mitzvahs? So he said, Yesh Loimar. Chazal say, Kol Adon Din Emes La'amitoy. Nasa shutif la kodesh baruch hu b'maisa bereshis. It's the Gemara Masech the Shabbos Taf Yudam at Aleph. Kol ha-shoy me Shabbos kilchasai. If somebody keeps Shabbos kilchasai, nasa shutif la kodesh baruch hu b'maisa bereshis. It's the Gemara Masech the Shabbos Taf Kuf Yudas at Aleph. If someone paskins dinim, is nasa shutif la kodesh baruch hu b'maisa bereshis. If somebody keeps Shabbos, he's nasa shutif la kodesh baruch hu b'maisa bereshis. And as it relates to kibud of aim, Chazal say shloisha shutfim ba'adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ovi V'imai. So he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Parshas B'Shalach. We're walking right into Parshas Yisrael now. It's about to be Kabbalah Satayra. But there's a problem. The problem is T'nohit Chal HaShemayim. What happened to Dina Debar Metzra? So he says, the Gemara says in Masech, this problem, Metziah Daf Kuf Ches, by a Shutif, there's no Halach of Dina Debar Metzra. If I smell to my Shutif, there's no Dina Debar Metzra. So you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did? He gave Klal Yisrael 3 mitzvahs. 3 mitzvahs that made us Shutfim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are the 3 mitzvahs? Dinim, because Kol Adon Din Emes La'amitoy Nasa Shutif LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereshis. He gave us the mitzvah of Shabbos, because Kol Hashem is Shabbos Kol Chasoy. It's Nasa Shutav like Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereshis. And he gave us the mitzvah of Kibud Aveim, which is underpinned based on the principle of Shloisha Shutvim Ba'adam HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Ave V'Imai. Klal Yisrael got these 3 mitzvahs. You know why? Because now that they have these 3 mitzvahs, now you can get all the other mitzvahs. Because now we're Shutfish HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now there's no more taina of T'na Hoitcha LaShemayim. There's no more taina of Dina Debar Mitzvah. The divrei pi chacham chen.